Jesus, I've got it all. What about if you think you've got everything the world has and you don't have Jesus? Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We're going to be reading this morning in Psalms chapter 127. I got several different scriptures. Before we do, I want to just say I apologize that I wasn't here last Wednesday night. I announced that we would have Bible study, and I wasn't able to come. I had a marathon trip to the emergency room. Now, I don't know if y'all been to the emergency room lately, but it'll let you know where you're at with God. It'll show you your weaknesses and things like that. And I think it was 19 hours for us, and spending the night sitting up in a chair. And we did put it out on calling post. Now, I don't have flu or COVID or nothing like that, and I actually feel better today than I did last Sunday. I've just learned as I'm getting older, I'm kind of like a truck with 300,000 miles on it. Every now and then, you got to put some, you got to work on that thing. So I appreciate those that pray for me, but I feel better. I am going to have to be obedient to what the doctors say and not take myself off of medicine that they put me on. Yeah, I'm sure y'all, I'm not the only one, but y'all don't do that. But we are trying to get the column post updated so everybody will receive it. And it was kind of a last-minute thing. I actually went to Immediate Med, and they sent me over there. And, boy, it was a lot of fun. Okay. If you got your Bibles, let's go to Psalms 127. I really like that song and the song they played earlier, If the Lord Build a House. You know, Joshua, he said, you choose who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, when I look around at all the things going on in the world today and people making their decisions, doing the things they want to do, they mock God, they scoff at God. Folks, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what the world does. Hadn't changed my opinion one bit. I'm still going to follow God. I'm going to serve God. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, what if heaven wasn't real? I don't want to live like this world. But I want you to understand something before we open the Word of God. Heaven is real. So is hell. You say, well, how can you explain that? I want to tell you something I can't. One thing I can explain, just like if doctors told me, you're getting older, you better realize it. I was working yesterday putting up all that Christmas stuff. I'm sure y'all have enjoyed taking that stuff down. I'll say this before I move on. Thankfully, we have a great decoration team. Let's give them a hand this morning. They come up here, they put the decorations up, they have to come and take them down. And they did a great job, they always do. My wife does a great job, and I'm kind of like that guy. She showed me this comedy clip to where the wife had worked all year, all through Thanksgiving and December, putting up the decorations and buying the Christmas presents and putting the menus together for the meals. And her husband, he asked her on December 24th, is there anything I can do to help you? That's about the way it was when she was taking them down. I was moving some stuff down, and I just kind of scraped my arm across the wall, and I realized my skin ain't thick as it used to be. Why are you saying that? Because you're going to die. And you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account. I was working around the garage yesterday, and the scripture just came to my mind, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Where old Peter wrote over there, he said, seeing all these things, we ought to pass the time of our sojourning here with fear. Why? Because we're all going to stand before God and give an account. And what I want to preach on this morning is building your house God's way. This goes right along with what we preached last Sunday. It's just on my heart. In fact, this was on my heart last Sunday, but God said go the different way. But I want to read this scripture in Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, that verse is pretty plain, but I want us to consider just a couple of things. What is my house? Well, it's pretty simple. That's my home. That's my life. That's the way that I live my life. And I want you to understand about your home, that's your marriage. That's your relationships in life. I've said it before, I say it often, it takes three to make a marriage, not two. Without God, what are you going to do in the tough times? What are you going to do when infatuation has turned to bills and stress and no time together? What are you going to do when you're like two ships passing in the night because you're working two different shifts and you got children that go to ball and they go over here and they go over there? If your relationship with God is not right, I want to tell you something. You're going to fall. You're going to go in the wrong direction. That's my home. That's my marriage. And what about this? That's my career. What does God want for my life? What does God want me to do? Am I in the place that God wants me to be, or am I doing what God wants me to do? I told this to the Bible college group not that long ago. It's something God spoke to me about. You ever open the Word of God and you look in it and you say, you know, this is my favorite Bible character. You know, I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, and I love the story of Daniel. And what I love about reading about these two men in the Bible, and it repeats this in several different places, it says an excellent spirit was found in them. And everything that you read about them, you find that God prospered it in their hand. But I want to remind you also that both Joseph and Daniel were prisoners. And I'm thinking about Joseph, and I'm thinking, you know, I really admire Joseph, and I want to be like Joseph. And I can remember a time of thinking that, and I'm talking to God. By the way, God knows us, right? Yes. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to me, and He says, if you want to really, really want to be like Joseph, why are you spending all of your time trying to be like Potiphar? That was God speaking to me, Brother Cyril. If I want God to build my house, if I want my life to go in the right direction, my career, I've got to surrender everything about my life to God and bow before Him and let Him be Lord of my life and not me. What about our city? You know, what about Hiram First Baptist Church? That's our church. We could say it's our nation. We could say it's our business. We could say it's our government. But, you know, in my life, I have to surrender to God. But what about here? Are we going to surrender to God and let what happens here be done for the honor and glory of God, or are we going to have it our way? We're going to argue about what color the paint is and what color the carpet is. I want to tell you something, folks. Churches have split over lesser things. When we get to the point that we realize it's about God and not about us, then maybe God will want to do something in our midst. But when we begin to think about us, and, you know, it's a shame to go into a church where God wants to work, and you've got a family that runs it, or you've got a clique that runs it, or you've got deacons that run it. I want to tell you, the leader of the church needs to be the Holy Spirit of God, and we need to get out of God's way and let God guide us. You know, there are some people that think that they can do it all by themselves, and that number is growing. But there's a verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 3, the fourth verse right in there. It said, let God be true and every man a liar. There's basic teaching in this Scripture. I want you to understand something. We cannot do it our way. We cannot build our own house. We cannot build our own city if we expect it to prosper. I've told this story before, but it fits right here. I can remember when I was a teenager, before I ever met my wife, I didn't have anything. I had a job making about $8 an hour, and I drove from L.J., Georgia to Douglasville to work. It was 81 miles. You ever tried to get a job in L.J. 40 years ago? It was difficult. And I remember driving over there, and at the time, I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't know what God was going to do in my life. I didn't know what God's plan was for my life, but I knew I was saved. I knew there was a God, and I knew that God had put a calling on my life. And folks, I want to tell you, working, you know, you think you got it tough in high school and college. You wait till you get out in the working world. I got out in the working world, and I was working with these guys. I worked one time with a guy who was a bank robber. I didn't even know it, but he had been running for the law for 5 years. Going down the road in a truck, and I'm sitting in the middle, and the guy on this side's got one eye, and the guy on this side, he was running from the law, and we got to talking. I said, "What happened to your eye?" He said, "Well, I got it shot out with a shotgun." Why are you telling us that? You're going to be in a world that you're going to have to make decisions about what you're going to do. And I remember being with these guys at one time, and this is something that I picked up from my dad. Every time my dad would do something, and this scripture can be found in the book of James, he would say, "If the Lord's will." Everybody had anybody say, "Well, what you going to do tomorrow?" My dad would always say, "Well, Lord willing. Lord willing, I'm going to work. Lord willing, I'm going fishing." And I remember saying that one time to a guy, and he just looked at me, and I guess he got tired of it. He said, "Can't you leave God out of anything?" He didn't believe in God. He was a non-believer. And I said this to him. As a teenager, with nothing, not knowing what God's plan was for my life, I said, "You can't leave God out of anything and expect it to prosper." And he just looked at me. He didn't have an answer for that. But I want you to consider just a couple of things. What happened when you attempt to build your own house? Number one, you start with the wrong foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul wrote, he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth of their own, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, folks, I want to tell you something based on the authority of God's Word, based on the conviction of the Holy Spirit, based on what I believe, based on the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way for you to have salvation. He's the only way for you to build a home that's going to prosper, that God is going to bless. And can I remind you of something? Of all the religions in the world, there is only one Holy Spirit, and it's part of the Trinity of God, and it's not found in any other religion in the world. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 says, "This is the stone which was set at naught or rejected of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." When people start with the wrong foundation, it's no wonder that they have problems building the house. I can remember going up on a business trip up to Wausau, Wisconsin, and I went into town, and we got there, and I looked across the way, and there was a building that just didn't look like it fit in this little town. And I made a comment about the building and how beautiful it was and how it didn't look like it fit. And the man that was with me, he said, "You know, they're going to have to tear that building down." And I looked at it, and I said, "Why?" He said, "It's sinking." He said, "When they built the building, they didn't establish a right foundation, and that four-story building with all that stone and with all that beauty and with all those lights and everything that has gone into it is going to have to be destroyed because the foundation is not right." What people need to understand is it's not the beauty that's on the outside. It's not the facade that we put on for others to see. It's what we're built upon that's going to cause us to be able to stand. You got to have the right foundation. You see, you start with the wrong foundation. The next step that people do is they build with the wrong materials. You know, sometimes rather than taking God's wisdom and God's understanding, it's worldly wisdom. It's, what do I know? What can I do? What is my understanding? And it could even be false gods. You know, sometimes people, you know, they're quick to point out things about different kind of false gods. And people can reject Buddhism. They can reject Hinduism or even Islam or these anti-God philosophies or all the modern cults of our time. But what about when you look in the mirror and you think you can do it without God? That's humanism. That's when you put yourself above what God thinks or what God wants, and rather than surrendering to God and praying to God and asking God, what you do is you think you can do it by yourself. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 says this, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." Now, there's another verse in the New Testament that talks about following after things of science that are falsely so called. I was sitting there yesterday in the midst of our taking the lights off the tree. The TV was on and there was some guy on there trying to explain the rainbow. He started talking about the rainbow and what it was, and they give all these other things of nature and of science, and I looked at it and I said, this is just man trying to understand the mind of God. Trying to understand how God did something. Then they start talking about volcanoes and how 80% of the volcanoes in the world are actually under the ocean, and they showed a picture of one. And all of a sudden my mind went back to the flood, and I thought about before the flood, there was no rain that had come down, that the moisture came up from the ground. I want to tell you something. God decided that it was going to change because of man's sin.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I don't care if they figure out how it happened from science. God caused the rainbow to be in the sky.
Amen.
I've heard them argue and they debate and they say, well, how can you explain God when you look out through the sky and you can't even tell me which stars are alive and which ones are even dead, because we can see them for thousands of years even after they have died.
Right.
I want to give you a very simple verse.
Right.
Out of the book of Genesis. Ravi Zacharias, in debate in South Africa, he used this verse. He said, he made the stars also. That's enough. Because if God made man in his own image from the dust of the earth, and in the beginning God said, let us make man, I want to tell you, it's nothing for God, because he's God. And no matter what we try to do in our minds, we'll never with a finite mind be able to understand the infinite complexes of God. We build with the wrong materials because we've got a bad foundation. We have the wrong things being brought into that house. Can I tell you the times that I've gotten calls as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, and people invite me. They say, we want you to come pray over our house. We just feel like there's an evil spirit in our house. And, you know, we're fighting all the time. And we've got trouble and we've got sickness. And I said, well, I'll come. And this is where the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me. And God begins to urge me. And even sometimes I begin to reject that urging of the Holy Spirit. But God continued to urge me. He said, ask them what's in their house. And it's been multiple times where this has come up. And I just have to ask them. I said, I'm just going to. You know, I don't mind coming, but I want to tell you something. The Bible says over there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27, neither give place to the devil. That's where you allow the devil to have place in your life or in your home, and then you're opening it a door and inviting him in. And I just asked him, I said, do you have anything in your house that would make the devil think that he's got the right to be there? I said, what's in your refrigerator? What kind of magazines do you have hidden? Do you have a Ouija board in your house? Let me tell you, if you have one, you better get it out. And I begin to ask these questions, and all of a sudden it turns, and they admit. I said, when you get the devil out of your house, I'll come. But I'm not walking into the devil's playground thinking we're going to do business with God until you get serious about doing business with God. There's a lot of people, if they want to clean up their house, they need to have a bonfire in the front yard. They need to open the windows. And we need to take the holy anointing oil and anoint every window and every door and tell the devil he has no place in there. But until you get serious about doing business with God, You can't do business with God. You see, you have building with the wrong materials, and in so doing, you end up with a distorted or a false sense of accomplishment or of acceptance. What does that cause you to do? It causes you to value the wrong things. You hear it today. People are talking about it. What are values? And in the world we live in today, people want to argue about even what values are. It's almost like arguing with someone about what's improper. You remember that? Nothing improper. What are values? Well, I want to tell you something, folks. Values are based on what the Word of God says, not what you think. Just because you think it's okay doesn't mean it's okay if God's Word said it's not okay. You don't value the things that you should. You don't value and show displeasure or rejection to the things that you should not. And then we see people praising the wrong things. It's when we stand up and clap when we should bow our heads in shame. How do we get to that point? It's because we built the wrong way. We've got the wrong materials. And in rejection of God, what it causes us to do is have a worldview that's our view, because it's the only thing you can have if you're not going down God's way and down God's road. And then because we've rejected God. Oh, I'm okay. You ever asked anybody this question? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I want to ask you this morning. Do you know Jesus? I know Him. I want to be like Him. Sometimes I'm better than others. I told you I had a trial this week. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm praying, honestly praying, God, help me. I'm about to lose my testimony. What do people do when they don't know the Lord? They get a false sense of security. Here's what they answer. Do you know Jesus? You ever had anybody just look at you and say, I'm okay? Or this, I'm good. You ever had anybody say, I'm good? I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you're not okay and you're not good. It's a false sense of security. You put trust in the wrong things. The scripture says in Psalms chapter 20, verse 7, he said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What's that talking about? You know, sometimes in America today, I've seen it. People say, oh, the America. You know, America's untouchable. Folks, our blessings come from the Lord. Some trust in horses and chariots. What's that talking about? It's talking about trusting in your strength. As a nation, it's the power of the military. It's the power of our economy and our grid and all the natural resources that we have. What about in our homes? Well, you know, you could say this, I'm smart, I'm good. Even if I lose my job, I'm smart enough to get another one. One heartbeat away from having a blood vessel in your mind. They told me when I was up there, they said, if you don't change your habits, you're going to have a stroke. I said, well, I guess I'll change my habits. Let me tell you something. If you don't change your habits, you're going to change. Because a false sense of security, what it does is it leads you to think that you're going to be okay when you're not. Isaiah 31 and 1 says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and horsemen because they are strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither do they seek the Lord. You know, in Scripture, Egypt is a type of the world, and what it's warning against here in this Scripture is don't go to the world when you ought to be going to God. Don't trust in the world when you should be trusting in God. Folks, there's nothing wrong with working, with saving, with trying to have something. But our hope and our trust comes from God, not from our own abilities. What people do with that false sense of security, here it is, they depend on things that will not last. They're like that man that said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build more barns and bigger barns, and I'm going to restore all my goods. And then the Lord said, this night thy soul will be required of thee. So what did they do? What did he do? He reaped the consequences of the way he had built his house. You see, what you build is what you get. I'm sitting here and I'm studying for this lesson. Y'all remember the story of the three little pigs? And, you know, the old big bad wolf, the devil, he comes and there's a straw house. And he says, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff. And I'm going to blow your house down. The straw house that fell. The stick house that fell. But to come to the brick house, and he huffed and he puffed and he couldn't blow the house down. You know, what I want is not to be standing in my ability or what I can do or what I think or my lackadaisical attitude, but I want to be trusting in God, doing the things that God wants me to have and do. The book of Hosea, chapter 8, verse 7, says, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Folks, that's the consequences of your building. And I'm coming to a close. This is the last one, but I want you to understand. The foundation that we build, if we don't build it with God and on God, it will not stand. It will not hold its ground. It's going to be destroyed. It's so important that I think every person needs to understand this. If you don't know God as your Savior, you need to know Him. If you want God to bless you in your home, then you need God in your home. If you want God to bless your marriage, you need God in your marriage. If you really want to have the career and work that would be pleasing to God, then you need to surrender to God in your life. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. What do we read? That rock that they rejected is Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them and shall be likened, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Just like that building that I mentioned. No matter how beautiful it was, no matter how big it was, no matter what was put into it, it was sinking. And they said that building is being condemned. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And then the scripture says, in great, or even could be translated, and terrible was the fall of it. You know, a foundation without God is a foundation that's on the sand. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28-29 says this, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Can I pause here for just a minute? I'm going to ask whatever song we're going to have. I think Brother Ty is going to sing again. Get ready. You know, there are things in my life that I have a lot of respect for God. I don't ever want to get to the point that I'm bragging about what I've done and cause God to remove His hand from me. You ever heard anybody, they want to, every time you get around them, they want to talk about themselves and what they've been able to accomplish? There's been a few times that, you know, I've had to go to meetings and, you know, you're around people you don't know. When my wife was working, I remember I told her I hate going to them. You know, it's those Christmas dinners or work dinners, and you get in there with guys and all they want to do. Here's what they do. What do you do for a living? How much money did you make last year? What did you do? I mean, tell me. And then it starts, and they start talking about all they've done. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to be humble before God, lest the blessings of God would be removed from us. I need God's hand in everything I do. Here's why. I cannot do it by myself. And I have a healthy, Bible-taught fear of the Lord. I want to give you some historical facts, and then we're going to ask you to stand in just a minute. You go through the Bible and you understand that there were those who understood what it meant to do things God's way. What do you mean? Well, they understood that their house needed to be built on the right foundation. You read through the book of Chronicles, which is a book of records. In chapter 4 and verse 10, you find the story of Jabez. And the Bible says this. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. That might be a good prayer to pray every morning before you go to work. It might be a good prayer to pray every morning before you go to school. David understood what it meant because in Psalms 23 he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Paul understood when he was converted and turned his heart and his life over to God. He said this, when he was a man that was highly lifted up and esteemed when he was persecuting the church. But his life changed when he accepted God. Sometimes your life does change. He said this, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, but you go through the Old Testament, you find where some people, they thought they could do it their way. Old Samson learned. He knew God, but he wasn't building his house God's way. And in the end of his life, he suffered. Then you go into the New Testament in the book of Luke in the 12th chapter. There was a rich man. The Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. And he had this old beggar named Lazarus that lay at the gate full of sores, desiring to eat from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But the Bible says that Lazarus died and he was carried afar off into Abraham's bosom. Now, folks, that's the paradise of God. That's what that is. But the Bible also says that the rich man died and he did lift his eyes in hell. Why? Here's why. Because he thought he could build his own house without God. Nobody can. You know, it's unfortunate and sad but true, but not everybody even believes what I preach this morning. In the world that we live in, they say, oh, I don't need that, but they will. Because the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet and I want to ask you this question. Who is building the foundation of your house? Have you turned it over to God? Have you surrendered to God? What's the foundation of your life? Have you decided, young people, old people alike, that I'm going to surrender my life to God and let God lead me? Then I'll ask you, what are you building with? What's in the house that God wouldn't be pleased with? You know, it's not about things. It's not about stuff. It's not about little incidents. It's about, do you know God? And have you surrendered to God? Because there's going to come a time soon when we're all going to stand in eternity. And I want you to know this church loves you. The people here love you. My heart's desire and prayer to God. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that you might be saved. You go and read in another place, he said, it's that you might grow. And I hope and pray that in 2024, church, you can grow in your relationship with God. We'll be able to invite people in that do not know Jesus and help them be saved. But because I believe in this church, I believe in the people of this church, if God spoke to your heart right now, if you'll just step out and ask God, he'll work in your life. He'll save your soul, and he'll work in your home. He will restore things, the Bible says in the Old Testament, he will restore things that the locust hath eaten because he's God, and he's able, and he's not dead. If God spoke to you right now, would you please come?